Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Nun Vav Amud Beit. So you recall that we learned before that there's no din of Tuma on a Revi'is Halug at all of a Nazir. Only on a Rova Akava Vatsomais, there we have a Halacha, not in Anaya, but Benegia, we do have Tuma. Rabbi Akiva argued over there, and he argued, the truth is, all the way. Rabbi Akiva held that the din of a Revius, of a Lug of Dam, is Mitame, even by Nazir. Fine. That's all very nice. But he certainly is outraged about the fact that according to the Chachomim, it's not even Mitame B'mago B'masa. How do you explain that? So that's what this Mishnah deals with. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, I was explaining, Dante Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, I tried to bring a Raya in front of Rabbi Eliezer with a Kal V'chomer, that it makes no sense to say that a Revius of Dam, you want to say it's Abatama Boyle, that's one thing. But to say that it's not Mitame at all? I mean, look, an Etzem Kisaora, let's take the case of an Etzem Kisaora. We're all agreed that an Etzem Kisaora is never Mitame Boyle, right? But it is, nonetheless, it's Mitame Anazir with Maga and Masa. So my Etzem Kisaora, which is not Mitame ever, an Adam Boyle, doesn't matter, Nazir, not Anazir. The din is that the Nazir is Migaleach. Al Magaov Al Masao. Revi'ez Adam, which you agreed that a Revi'ez Adam is Metame Ba'ol, normally. And Dafka over here, when it comes to Nazir, you're saying, no, only Echad Tzilug. Okay, fine. Let's say I agree. I don't agree with you, but let's say I would agree with you that Echad Tzilug is necessary Ba'ol. But can we not at least agree that Eno Din Chie Am Nazir Megaleach Amagav Al Masah? It's more chomer than an Etzem Kisaira, and you're making it less chomer than an Etzem Kisaira. Doesn't make any sense. So, in other words, this Mishnah is not necessarily implying that Rabbi Akiva goes along with the fact that it's only Metame B'Magro B'Masah, but he certainly is trying to show the Chachomim, Rabbi Eliezer, that it should at least be Metame B'Magro B'Masah, even if they hold it's not Metame B'Ol. But the Mishnah said before that it's not Metame at all, and only the Etzem Kisaora is Metame B'Magro B'Masah, but not B'Ol. Amar Li, and Rabbi Eliezer says to me, says Rabbi Akiva, what the heck are you talking about? What's going wrong with your brain? Maza Akiva, well, you lost it. Ain't any kind of Kal V'chomer. You can't use a Kal V'chomer in this case. I didn't know what he was referring to. So I came and spoke to Rabbi Yeshua about it, and I told him over the conversation. Ukishabati v'retzeti dvarim lefnei Rabbi Yeshua Amar Li, he said to me, look, his point was that Yafa Amar, that's all very nice that you've got a Kal V'chomer, but Kal V'chomers cannot use anything in a case where we're talking about Halacha L'Meshem Yisinai. And since over here you're trying to bring a Raya which is based on Halacha L'Meshem Yisinai, which we'll discuss in a moment, you cannot use data in the normal course of Dinim, of the Midah Shatera Nidreshes by him. The data from a Halacha L'Meshem Yisinai is not usable. You can only use things that are in the Torah directly. The Halacha L'Meshem Yisinai is considered to be an external source in which each thing is limited to the special case in which it was given over as a halacha. And therefore, it was a very nice argument, but it's irrelevant. Now, the question is, there's two ways of understanding this. And it turns out from the Rush that one of the things that the Gemara is being mechadesh over here is the possibility that the issue of Al Kol Nafshot Meit, that itself, which Rabbi Akiva understands, that even two separate mesim, you can be mitzarif to be mitame, that it could be that lies beneath the whole misunderstanding over here of what it is that I'm attempting to learn out about the Revi Yezdam. Now let's take a look at the Gemara's question. What are we saying? Are we saying that Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva, look, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, but it's irrelevant. Why? Because the din of Etzem Kisaora is a halacha. So the halacha is against what I normally would have said. The fact that I know, and you're bringing a raya from that, that I know that a nazir, even though he's not going to be mitamei from an etim kisaira, is going to still, in an oil, is still going to have to do giluach if he comes to touch it, that is a tremendous chiddush, and I would not know it from the Torah. Why would I not know it from the Torah? Because the pasuk, al nefesh meit lo yavo, remember, the lo yavo, the simple meaning of lo yavo is, as we said earlier, the very word lo yavo means into an oil. That's the sense of lo yavo. Lo yavo where? Lo yavo, don't enter. Don't enter. How do you enter into the nefesh meit? By going into an oil. That's the point. Therefore, where do we get the idea, bichlal, that a nazir would be megaleach on maga or masa? Halacha l'meshem yisinai. So therefore, what you want to do is you want to say, okay, I know that Revi Yezdam is a given, and Revi Yezdam I learn out from a Kal Vachomer. But the thing is, I cannot apply a halacha to make a Kal Vachomer of it. You're trying to say, well, for sure, if I have halacha l'meshem yisinai, then an etzem kisaira is metame anozer for giluach. So Kol Shekein, a Revi Yezdam, which is metame normally in an oil, would at least be metame a nazir b'maga. A lovely argument, very logical, but irrelevant because it's all based on some fact. And that fact is that Etzem Kisaora is Mechayev the Nazir in Giluach. But that fact is not part of the normative way in which the Torah is Nidrash. It's only part of the halacha l'meshem yisinai. And therefore, your argument is null and void, because we can't use the data. That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is that the truth is, revi'it adam is halacha l'meshem yisinai. Why would that be? Says the Rosh, that would be because the pasuk of nafshot meit is mashma that you need enough blood for two nefashot. So our Kabbalah is that it takes a minimum of a Revi Yezdam to support human life. And that would mean that you would need a chaytzi. So Adarabba, from the pasuk itself, I would only know, not a Revi Yezalug, I would only know a chatzilug, which is the din by a nazir. So if you're coming along now and telling me that generally speaking, there is a halacha of Revi Yezalug, where did that come from? That came from halacha l'meshem yisinai, which is not the pashtus of the pasuk. Now you see why I said before that that Rosh's approach implies that this would actually be dependent on whether you learn nafshot meit the way Rabbi Akiva learns, that even if it's the same Revi Yezdam, which are mitzaref between two nefashot, or whether we're learning it that it means miikra din chetzilug, because it means enough to sustain two nafshot meit. It's a completely different approach. But in any event, if that's the case, so then it would turn out that the halacha of Revi Yezdam being metame in general, in an oyel, would be halacha l'meshem yisinai. And the etzem kisaora, that would be a normal halacha. That would not come because it says etzem adam, and etzem adam is a shir of kisaora. So according to this version, we wouldn't need the chiddush that it's metami, and apparently we don't worry about alpine that lo yavo. It means that bedavka in the tumas oil. And therefore, our problem is you cannot use the kal vachomer, which is going to be based on the halacha, because over here, since the din that Revi Yezalug is metami is based halacha, and now you want to use that data to prove that it's more chomer. You can't use that data, because the din of its being more chomer is not part of the normative way that the Torah is telling you the din. It comes from external halacha l'meshem yisinai. So there's two completely different ways of understanding that. Is the basis of the Kal Vachomer our problem, or is the din itself the problem? Right? It's not clear. How would you understand it? Says the Gemara. I don't know how I would understand it, but I can show you clearly from the Braita, the way the Braita says. Toshma. Etzim kisa'era. In the Braita, it says that what Rabbi Yeshua said to him was beferish. Etzim kisa'ora is a halacha. And Ravi is dam, is the Kal Vachomer that we're deriving from a halacha, which is that the Etzim kisa'era is metame. And ein danin Kal Vachomer mi halacha. You cannot go ahead and therefore bring a Kal Vachomer and say that the Ravi is dam should be metame bimaga, because Etzim Kisora, which is Halacha L'Moshim Yisinai, is Metame B'maga. The fact that it's Metame B'maga is not part of the data that the Torah uses in giving us over normative Halacha. In which case, I do not know anything further than the facts that are given. Namely, that Etzim Kisora is Metame Halacha L'Moshim Yisinai. According to Rabbi Akiva, that is the Etzim Kisora is for sure. But the Revi'is Dam, according to him, is the same as it is all over. It's not any different by the Nozer, even Ba'ya. But according to Chachomim, it's completely not Nogia, the Shir of a Nozer, even B'magav Asa. Hadron Alach Kohen Gadol. Excellent. Thank you, Sir Richard. So now we move on to situations in which we're going to have to figure out how it is, if we don't know whether a certain person is Tamei or not, how could he be Yotzei Yitzchiyev Naziros? Now, towards the close of the previous parak, we spoke about if we don't know if the person maybe is a Mitzera, maybe he's a Nazir Tamei. So we have one individual, and that one individual, we have to figure out all of his various fakas. We ended up having four separate units, could be 4 years, 40 years, or 120 days, whatever it is, before he'd be able to be Yotze all of his Svekas. Now, we want to talk about Svekas between two people. In other words, we know somebody is definitely affected. So now we have ways of addressing the Karbonis, because one or the other is going to have to bring that Karbon. And now the question is, how do they work it out between themselves? So let's imagine a case in which you have two Nazirim, to whom an Eid Echad says, hey guys, I definitely saw one of you, I couldn't make out the face, but I saw one of you become Tomei from a mace, but I can't identify you. I don't know which one it was. Now these guys, they don't know, and they are Shotkim. And the din is that when someone is not Makrish in the Eid Echad, so then the testimony of that Eid Echad becomes relevant in Isurim, and now they have to act. Each one has to act as if he is a Suffolk Tomei Mace. What do they do? Well, at the end of the Naziris, let's say we're talking about a 30-day Naziris. At the end of the Naziris, they both do their Giluach. Well, what do you do about the Korban? I mean, the Giluach, of course you have to do, because whether you're Tomei or whether you're Tar, you're going to still have to do the Giluach, either Giluach Tuma or Giluach Taira. So that's not a question. But I don't know who's supposed to be bringing a Korban Taira and who's supposed to be bringing a Korban Tuma. So that's not a big deal, because all you need to do is bring one Korban Tuma and one Korban Taira, and you make it tonight. So one says, look, if I am the guy who was Tamei, so then this Korban Tuma is mine and the Korban Taira is yours. But if I'm the one that's Tahar, so then this Korban Taira is mine and this Korban Tuma is yours. Okay, so far everybody's happy. Now we wait another 30 days, and of course neither of them can be Shaysa Yayin or Metame L'Mesa, because they're both a Suffolk, maybe their Naziris restart. Right? So, okay. So they both keep their standard Naziris. We're assuming that what the case is, that's what we're talking about. They wait another 30 days, and they bring a Korban Taira. Now notice, the Mishnah doesn't say anything over here about their doing Giluach after the second 30 days, right? So keep that in mind, because the Gemara is going to make assumptions about this Mishnah, and we're going to need to wonder what's the basis of those assumptions. They wait 30 days, and they bring a Korban Taira. only one carbon tire, obviously, because one of them is a renewed count nazir after bringing his carbon tumah. Only that one needs to bring a carbon tire. The other one brought his carbon tire before. Problem is, we don't know which one. Fine. So what they do is they make the same tonight. So one of them says, okay, if I was the one who was tameh, so then that carbon tumah that we brought last month, that was mine. And that carbon tire that we brought last month, that was yours. And I hereby offer this carbon. This is my carbon tire. But if I was the one who was Torah last month, then that carbon tire was mine. And last month's carbon tumah was yours. And this is your carbon tire. So then they work out the money. They split the cost for this. And this way, everybody's happy. The only problem is that we seem to be ignoring the very important question of where exactly did this suffix take place. Because remember that we have a halacha that we learn out from Sota, as a halacha l'mesh Sinai, that a suffix tumah b'reshut harabim is always considered to be tar, by definition. Because the whole halacha of a sota is built on the fact that until she's shown to have been over, so then we have a suffix, and the Torah calls that tumah, and we compare it to the din of tumah. All of this, of course, is a little far-fetched on the surface, but this is the way that we were mekabel, and therefore it has to be similar to the case of sota. If it's not similar to the case of sota, and the obvious difference is where there is, in that case, there's more than two people present, so then it's not a sota, so then the whole thing doesn't get going. We don't make her drink, we don't have any sfeikas, and so on and so forth, right? So until she drinks, she's asur l'baala. But if there were three people and not two people, meaning she wasn't alone, so then she doesn't have to drink. She's considered to be tahar. So that means that if you have three people, that's considered to be the equivalent of a suffix tumah with three people present. If three people are present, then it's rishus harabim, and the sota doesn't drink, or in this case, the nazir doesn't have to worry about it. If there's only two people, the sota does have to drink to be mater herself to her husband, and in this case, the nazir would have to worry about the suffix. But since we're talking about two nazirim, and we're talking about another guy who says, I saw one of you being tamei, so then we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, by definition. Three people. And three is a crowd. And therefore, there should be no problem. They could both walk away free. So, I have a Cheskas Taira. He has a Cheskas Taira. What's the problem? So let's take a look at that question in the Gemara. Katani Shnei Nazirim Shamar Le'am Echad. So one guy says to them, Ra'iti Echad Bikem Shinitamah Ve'eni Yodea Ezemikem. But why do we have to treat these as fake, as Vamai? Isn't the din that kol safek tumah b'reshut hayachid is a problem? But how do we define reshut hayachid? Where do we get that halacha from? We get that halacha from sota. Eicha yafid ala misota. Okay. So by sota, by definition, the whole point of the sota is that this male is alone with this guy's wife, right? If somebody else is there, then she's not nistera. So just like the safek of the sota is only where there is a putative boel and a putative nivelet. That's what we're saying, that these two guys got together, coupled together. So too, kol safek tumah b'reshut hayachid would only be where there's only two people present. Kegon d'ikah b'etrei. But since over here, by definition, we started off with two nazirim, and now we've got another guy who is an observer of these two nazirim and says that one of them was tamei, so we've got three. Haidekoy gabehem, three is a crowd, atlata. In which case it becomes a safek tumah b'reshut harabim. And the din is, kol safek tumah b'reshut harabim, sveiko tahor. We simply put the guy on his chazaka, and there's no issue. So why is the Mishnah saying, what are they going to do about the tumah? There is no tumah. It's vadei tahor. Oh, my Rabba Bar Avuna, in order for something to be in the same reshus, they have to be in the same reshus. Seeing them is not considered to be in the same reshus, because we always have this question of if somebody saw them. That's like central to the whole question of sota. Somebody was peeking through the window or whatever. That's not called a suffek tumah rishus rabbi. So the case over here is the guy saw them, but he wasn't with them in the same rishus. It's very simple. So this guy says, look, I was standing at the end of the block, you know, which is precisely why I really don't know how to identify. I didn't see you guys touch anything. I wasn't close enough. What I saw was that someone threw something that was tummy and it bounced off one of you guys. So that amazer, because I've been amazed, was thrown and hit you. I don't know which one of you it hit, but the bottom line is I didn't stand close enough to you to be part of the people that were standing there. So ra'iti tuma shenizraka b'nechem from afar. Ravashi, I don't understand why you guys are making such a big fuss about this. If you read the Mishnah made it quite clear that the guy was not standing nearby because it says, Tekanani, Diktani, I don't know who it was. What do you mean, I don't know who it was? Did you see somebody touch tumor or not? Well, obviously the guy was too far away for him to be able to make out who had touched it, right? So he's got to be talking about some crazy case like that, that this mafia guy was carrying a piece of a corpse and drove by and threw it at them. I don't know. So he's like, what does that have to do with it being a suffek tumah versus hayochid? Okay. So therefore, we can understand the case very parshat. We don't have rishus harabim. And therefore, we now have to deal with the suffek tumah. Now, the obvious question is that, of course, the halacha of suffek tumah versus harabim and suffek tumah versus hayochid works in both directions. And that is that if it's a suffek tumah versus hayochid, then the din is that sveko tummy. So if the din is sveko tummy, then we should say that it's vanai tummy. So we're back where we started from. You only asked the question, why don't we say that it's tar? But what about the other issue? It should also be in this case that we don't have to worry. And they're both mechuyev, right? Because each one of them is vanai tummy. That's the way that we normally view it. So Tosfos asks this. And Tosfos says, obviously we can't paskin a suffek tumah brishus hayochid as a vadai tumah, unless it's possible that there's vadai tumah. So in the case of the seita, of course it's possible. That's where we're learning it from. So the seita may very well have slept with this guy, and they were treated as if she definitely slept with this guy. But over here, all that we know is that something bumped off of one guy's head, and not the other guy's, right? So if that's the case, we can't possibly say that something that bumped off of this guy's head bumped off the other guy's head. It's either this guy or the other guy. So we can't possibly use the din of vadai where it cannot be a vadai. So we're left with a regular suffik and without the implications of suffik tumah bereshut harabim. Okay. So now the problem is, says the Gemara, that the Mishnah says that they're supposed to shave and bring their karbonas. But how could they shave? Maybe the one who's shaving isn't tummy, and he's being over on the Isser of Hakofas HaRosh. Now, this is why I asked you to note that the Mishnah never said that he shaves. The Mishnah only said that you shave the first time. Well, obviously, you shave the first time because both of them are mechuyev to shave the first time. One because he's an Ozer tummy, and one because he's an Ozer tar. The Mishnah seems to conspicuously leave out Megalchim the second time, maybe for this very reason. You can't be Megaleach mitzad ha-safek. So the Mishnah would be going, Aliba de Chachomim will hold that the Giluach is not Ma'akev. So what's the big deal? So left out Giluach. This is a very big issue. And it's not at all clear why we're making this assumption that the Mishnah is telling me, the Reb Kivager asks this in on the Mishnah itself. Where does it come from in the Mishnah? I leave that with a question. But the point is, I mean, there are a lot of attempts at solutions. One of the most popular attempts is that this would be a problem of kol haroi labila ein bila ma'akevet, because she'ein haroi labila bila is ma'akevet. In which case, even if you hold it normally, tiglachas is not ma'akev. But since over here there's no possible way to do it tiglachat, so then everybody would be made that it would be ma'akev, and therefore we're assuming that the Mishnah is taking for granted that there was, in fact, a giluach the second time around as well. Okay, whatever pshat you come up with, please let me know, because you could do some research. Anybody who gets a chance to read the Rabbeinu Peretz is welcome to enjoy and to give us a divuach. I don't have my Rabbeinu Peretz here, but when I get home, Bezrat Hashem. Anyway, so the question is, assuming that they do have to do a tiglachat the second time around, how can they do the tiglachat if there's a suffix that he's being over on an iser d'oraisa of shaving off his peyot? Said Shmuel, well, maybe in Achinami. Maybe the Mishnah was only talking about a case where the people that had the suffix were either a katan, and remember that a katan has nedarim if he's magialo, not nedarim. So maybe he was a katan, but he's not chayev in the din of Hakavas HaRosh. Or maybe it's a woman, and a woman isn't chayevet in Hakavas HaRosh. So maybe that's the case. Perhaps. Wait a minute. Is it really such a serious question? I mean, couldn't we say it's talking about a regular guy, an adult, begadol, and just like we said before, if you shave the entire rosh, then you're not shaving the peyot. Because the whole point of shaving the peyot is where you're making the peyot the equivalent of where the hair was on the other side of the head. But if there is no hair, so then what are you doing? You're not doing anything wrong. So why don't we just say that since, by definition, you do need to be a complete giluach, including the peyot, but you complete the rest of the head too, so then there's no problem, because it's a kafat kol harosh. Why did Shmuel say it has to be talking about a woman? Must be. That min alom okim lachi, if Shmuel didn't take the easy way out and say that that's the answer, apparently he didn't hold it was an answer. Which means that Shema min ha-kasov ha-shmuel, ha-kafat kol harosh, is considered to still be ha-kafa. Because otherwise he could simply have said it's talking about that he was makif kol harosh, as is required, and that's not an answer. So you see from here that apparently, according to Shmuel, ha-kafat kol harosh, shema ha-kafa. Now, this is not necessarily true. Why? Because we have a slightly different, but a very significant difference, according to the way Marzutra said over this whole thing. Just take a look at this. Marzutra, Masala Shmaitta Shmuel, a Seifa. Now, when we're talking about the Seifa again, we're talking about this Mishnah's continuation, which is the Mishnah afterwards. Okay, but we know this Mishnah because we've been through this Mishnah many times. We just talked about it. And that's the case of the one Nazir who had a suffix. And we're going to get to that in the Mishnah very soon, but we had it before. And that was the case. A Nazir is a suffix Tomei, and he's a suffix Mitzar, right? So he could be Tomei B'suffix and a Mukhlet B'suffix. So we said over there, Kachim, he can eat after 60 days. And he can only be drinking wine after 4 units, 120 days. And he does 4 times giluach. So there, the way Marzutra was learning it, Shmuel came in to answer the question, what? How could he do that? Because if he is a suffix as a mitzvah, so then how could he have a right to shave his face? Because he's going to be over on the iser mitzvah suffix of giluach. Forget about hakafas harosh. Now, since a mitzora has to use a razor, and since a mitzora is shaving off every bit of hair that he has, he's going to be over, even if you don't hold a hakafas harosh, he's going to be over on shaving his beard. So how do you explain that? How does he do that, misafik? That was the question that Shmuel was coming to answer. And there, Shmuel answered, be'isha v'kata. Now, I mean, that makes sense. Because maybe ein archinami. Why? The whole point over here is that we're only worried about the giluach of the zakat, which would mean that according to that, so then Shmuel could go along with not even asking the question about hakafas harosh, because maybe it's really poshut that hakafas kol harosh lav shma hakafa, And the only reason, and that would explain Marzutra. So the Marzutra says, no. You're wrong. Shmuel didn't answer that question in the first mission, meaning in the Reisha of the Mishnah we're talking about. He answered it only Benogea, the question of shaving. So over there he had to say that it was a Katan or was an Isha. That's a completely different approach, in which case we wouldn't be able to bring a Raya, Libet Rebbe Zera. We wouldn't be able to bring a Raya that, according to Shmuel, Hakofas Kalarosh is considered to be Hakofa, because we're not sure that Shmuel ever said that about the first part of the Mishnah. Now the question is, if we're talking about a katan, what would be the din of cutting the katan's hair? Because over here, you could say, the katan isn't chayev, but maybe the barber is chayev for being makif, and he's a gadol. So Omar Rav Huna, indeed, ha-makif et ha-katan, harei hu chayev. The halacha is that somebody who does hakofas harosh of a katan is chayev, even though the katan isn't chayev. So in other words, it's not the person that is shaved, it's the person that does the shaving that is considered to be the problem. Omar le Ravada bar Ava or Ravuna. Ravada bar Ava said to Ravuna, I understand, your kids all go around with baldies. Now somebody had to shave those kids' hair. Who shaved those kids' hair? I mean, according to you, the person who shaves is the one who's over. So how do you explain that? Omar Leis, Ravuna says, so apparently, it must have been standard that kids walk, maybe because of lice or whatever, but that kids walked around with shaved heads. So I don't know, maybe they were all rappers, but whatever. They definitely had shaved heads. So Ravada wanted to know. So I understand, your kids look like everybody else. If you've got this big chumrah that you're not allowed to shave a child's head, so how did the child get shaved? Omar Lei. So he said, my wife, Chova. So Ravada said, so now, this is very strange. If you read it normally, this is like a curse. Takbarinun Chova Levanea. She should bury her children if that's what she does. But as the Rush points out, I mean, he himself holds that it's mutter. So why would he get so hot under the collar? So the Rush says he's saying it below Shintema. What? She wants to get Chas V'Chalila that she should bury her children and she should be over this terrible Isser. Now, I mean, this doesn't really make much sense. According to him, he's mutter. But he's just saying, perhaps, well, if she's your wife and she agrees with you that the Isser is in terms of the person who's doing the Hakafa, so I understand. How could she do such a thing? Anyway, Lamaisa, because of this horrible statement, Kulu Shani de Ravada Bar Ava lo yikayim lezara lo Ravuna. As long as Ravada Bar Ava was alive, none of Ravuna's children survived. It's a disaster. Watch out how you talk. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. Michta. Both agree over here that Hakafat Kol HaRosh is considered to be Hakafa, right? Because, I mean, otherwise, why not just say, there's no problem. There was no problem in having my kids' hair cut because they went around with baldies, and that included their peyot. And the whole thing was therefore not a problem in the first place. So it must be that everybody was agreeing over here if they were discussing how it was done. And the only question is, does it involve the katan or not? That they both agree that it's considered to be an Isra HaKofa, even if you're doing the whole head. So then what exactly are they arguing about? B'maika miflinga. Well, says the Gemara like this. Take a look at the pasuk. That's what they're arguing about. Ravuna savar, lo takifu pa'at roshchem, v'lo tashchit et pa'at zikanecha. So what that is doing, even though these are two completely different isurim, right? It's a separate lav for giluach, a separate lav for akofa. Why does the Torah put the two of them together? To tell me. Kol shi yesh lo hashchata, yesh lo hakafa. So whoever has this iser of hashchatat hazakan, so they have a beard, so they also have an iser of hakafa. But since women, hani nashi, Since they don't have this Isser of Hashchata, the whole point in the Torah is that women are not included in the Isser of Hakofa at all. And therefore, there's no problem of their doing the Hekef. Whereas Ravada Bar Ava holds that the meaning of the Isser is Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikaf VeMashma, that actually the simple pshat over here is that even though it says the Lo Takifu, we understand that that means not only as a reflexive, but not to be makif if you are somebody else. So in other words, either way is included. The barber is included, and the person who's getting the haircut is included. So they're both going to be over on the Isser. And this means that the makif and the nikaf in this pasuk are being compared. Therefore, I come out with the absolutely opposite conclusion. If the person who is getting the haircut, if he would be chayev, then the barber is chayev. But if the person getting the haircut isn't chayev, such as a katan wouldn't be chayev, so then there would be no iser on giving him the haircut. So because I katan, so the makif nami is not mechayev. So it turns out that they hold exactly the opposite of each other, which is remarkable. So in other words, it comes out, lechora, that what we're talking about over here is that according machlokas between Ravuna and Ravada Bar Ava are basically the two separate machlokas are interdependent. Because what you could say is that Alibar of Huna, the Isser of somebody who's doing the Hakafa, not who's being Mukaf, but the Isser is not because he is being Mavir the Nikaf, but because it's an Etzem Isser in a Maisa of Hakafa. A Maisa of Hakafa is Osir. It doesn't matter whether it's your head, it doesn't matter, it's somebody else's head. And therefore, if you are being makif a katan, that head of a katan is included. If you're makif a woman, if the woman who is makefet, she's not included because she doesn't have a yisurim. So everybody would be chayav on the katan as long as they have this isur lav. The woman doesn't have this isur lav because she doesn't have a beard and it was mukash to it. According to Ravada Bar Ava, the isur of being makif is not because there's an Isser to be makif, it's because of the Isser of the person that you're being makif, the nikaf. So the Isser of the makif is because you're affecting somebody who's not allowed to be nikaf, and it's as if you're doing it for him. So therefore, according to him, if you go ahead and you do this to a katan, well, the katan is not chayev, and therefore there's no Isser on you because there's no nikaf. Masha Ein Kain, what difference does it make whether the Isha is the Makifa or not? I don't care if it's male or female. It's not because of their Isser. It's because of the Isser of the person that they're doing this to. So therefore, if a woman would be Makif a man, so then it would be Usser if that man was Usser. So therefore, we turn out to have precisely the opposite approaches between Ravada Bar Ava and between Ravuna, right? So according to Ravada Bar Ava, makes no difference whether it's a man or a woman. If it's usher, so then it's usher both for a man and for a woman, which is why he says, excuse me, Ravuna, if you hold that it's usher, what's the difference if it's a man or a woman? Do you want Chova to bury her children? Mashain can, according to Ravuna, he says the Torah is not comparing the person who's doing the act of shaving to the person who is the sitting in the barber chair, even if the person that is in the barber chair is putter, this is a separate isser on the person who's doing it. You're not supposed to be maki varosh. Masha Ein Kain, according to Ravuna, even though the father, the man, would be usher to do a hakafa of a child because it's a separate isser, but since the woman is not included because the Torah compared it to a beard. So because of that, even lechatchila, she has no problem whatsoever in being makif this katan. Okay? Unbelievable.
When do we say something in terms of sort of without a chinuch? Like if you're going to do something without a chinuch, which like the cut would learn from that mice.
So that's actually discussed. Some of the Rishonim Taina that the whole point over here is that it's Bedafka telling you that it's not Nogei Achinuch. In other words, that you can, that there is no problem of the Katan. I don't know. It is a little bit funny, but this is what they all did. So it must have been some point maybe in being, you know, completely passive that it's, maybe it's not Nogei, but I don't know. I don't know like what the mocker of saying that it's a Bedafka. I think it's the Rajbo who says that. Anyway, so is it possible, says the Gemara, that maybe this whole thing is Machlokas Tanoyim? Lema HaKofas Kalarosh is actually Machlokas Tanoyim. Take a look at this price. And remember, we had this whole discussion before, and what we had before is we darshened the Pasuk about the Mitzorah, and over there it says, Vayaba Yom HaShvi'i Yigalach Et Kol Saro, and it lists at Roshov, at Zekanov, at Gabotenav, and we darshan every one of these words. And before, we didn't talk about the whole thing. So we didn't talk about Roshov. But here the Braita begins with the word et Roshov. Roshov matamudomar. So why does the Torah have to tell me that the Mitzorah cuts the hair of his head? If it said beferish, yigalach et kol saro, I mean, it's pretty obvious that his head is a very primary place, at least in some people. It's a very primary place to find hair, right? So why did the Torah have to say Rosho? Ah, l'fishenema lo takifu pa'at roshchem. So since there's going to be an iser, so you might have thought that maybe when the Torah said that he's supposed to cut off all his hair, it doesn't mean hair that's usher to cut. Yochol af mitzorakein. Therefore, Talmud lomar Rosho, and that we're docha the iser of hakofas harosh, in order to be able to cut his hair. Now, obviously, this leads us to a problem. If you hold that Akofas Kol HaRosh is not called Akofa, well, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you could do something that is an Isser, is not Usser, right? Okay, but we'll get to that in a moment. But this was one brisa. Now, let's first take a look and see if we can ascertain any type of Machlokas Tanoim here. And then we'll get into the details of why would we need a pasuk to tell me something like that. V'tanya idach. Now there's another braita, takes the same pasuk and gives a totally different explanation. Rosho ma tamud lomar, lefi shenemar gabe nozir. And this is what we discussed before. Ta'ar lo yavor al rosho. So you might think that if the nozir, this mitzvah was a nozir, so then there's a problem because he's not allowed to shave his hair. So how's he going to get out of his tzoras? If he's not allowed to do this, Talmud Lomar, Rosho. Therefore, it says, no, even if the Mitzorah is a Nazir, he has to nonetheless go ahead and be over on this Isser. Now, note that when you're talking about the Isser of a Nazir, you're talking about not only a Lotase, you're talking also about a Mitzvah's Aseh, because it also says, Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. That's a Mitzvah's Aseh. So if we're telling the Mitzorah to be docha the Naziris, then we're telling him to be docha both a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo taaseh. Okay. So whatever you're going to say, l'chora, the machlokas, needs to be explained like this. That my lav tanoi, according to the Tana, the second Tana, who says that I need this pasuk and can use this pasuk to tell me that we're going to be docha an esa and a lo taaseh of a nazir, why do I have a right to do that? Why don't I say that the reason that I need the pasuk is to tell me to be decha a lota segreda, the lota sev lota kifupat roshchem, right? So, my love, that's exactly the point. The Tana that says we can use this for a nazir who is a mitzvah, he holds, I don't need the pasuk of Rosho to tell me that you can go ahead and cut the hair of a regular mitzvah. Why should you not be? Well, what do you mean? You're cutting off his payas. No, I'm not. I'm cutting off his entire head. Well, not his head, but at least his hair. So if I'm cutting off kol, if Akofas Kol HaRosh, is not called hakafa. So what do I need a pasuk to tell me you can do something that's mutter? Therefore, if it's telling me rosho, it's telling me you can do something that's aser. What's the case that's aser? A nazir who became a mitzera. So over there, you're going to be over both on an aser and a lota. Said that's a big kiddush. And afal pikein, the Torah says, go ahead and be makif the rosh of a nazir who came down with sarat. So that would explain why he says, I have the pasuk available. In which case, kiatakra, the only point of this pasuk would be to come along and to teach me that I'm doicha a lotasa and an aseya of a nazir. Masha Enkein, the first Tana, which said, no, I need the pasuk to tell me that a mitzera, forget about his being a nazir. Even if he's a regular mitzera, he's still going to need a pasuk to tell us that when the Torah says to cut his hair, it means even the hair of his head, which is an issur d'oraisa. I need a pasuk for that. Is it an issur d'oraisa? He's cutting the whole hair? Yes, indeed. I hold hakafas kol harosh is considered to be hakafa. Okay, so then that would be the easiest explanation. And therefore, according to him, sasava hakafas kol harosh shmo hakafa, that would mean that I need the pasuk to come along and to tell me just to be doicha alav. I don't have a pasuk to tell me to be doicha alota aseve asei. So there you go. It seems that we have a machlokas tanoim about whether hakafas kol harosh shmo hakafa, and therefore whether we need a pasuk to tell me that a mitzera, the chiyav of haircuts, is doicha alav, or whether we only need the pasuk to tell me that the chiyav of haircuts is doicha the nazir, which is alav and not say, because there is no other lav, because there's only hakafas kol harosh. Hakafas kol harosh is not called hakafa. That would be the machlokas. Says Ravan, I don't disagree. I don't think that's true. Because, I mean, look, the truth is, you're right that if you're makif kol harosh at one time, that it would not be aser. Maybe everybody holds that if you're makif the entire rosh, that's the whole point, right? You're makif the entire rosh. Let's imagine a case where this mitzora comes along and he shaves gradually, you know? So first he does the hakafa on... Actually, it's the Kohen who does the Hakafa, but suppose we first do the Hakafa of the payas, right? Then we take a break, and then we're makif the rest of the Rosh. So over there, you wouldn't have the heter of Hakafa Skala Rosh, right? Nonetheless, the Torah wants to tell you that however you do it, it's fine. You can do it even if you do it in stages. So maybe Kuliyam Akafas Kolarosh is not Akafa, but the Pasuk wants to tell you, you don't have to go after the guy like it's all has to be done in this emergency, all in one big, one of these, you know, these classic guys with their big shavers, like, oh my gosh, right? Of course, we're talking about razors over here. No, maybe he was Migaleach a little bit, and then he ended up doing Migaleach more. So then that case, what we would be saying that, look, he could have been Megaleach at all at one time, but he didn't. So given the so what we need the pasuk is to tell me that once the Torah is being matered for you, so then even if you did it first by being over on the Isser, but maybe it's not in order to avoid the problem of Akafas Kol HaRosh. Maybe it's Gufa coming to tell me that you don't have to do it in such a way that it's simultaneous. No, come on, says the Gemara. We know that that's ridiculous. We have the general rule, remember, for Shlokish, we've spoken about so many times. If there's a way to do something without being over on the Isser, and another way to do something where you would be over the Isser, then the Torah is never matter it. So how could Rava say that it's mutter v'chikatav krochi? That is a very weird way for the pasuk to tell you the din. Didn't Reish Lakish say that koma kom shatam otse ase v'lo ta'ase? If there's any way for you to be Makayim both of these without being over an Isser, that's what you got to do. Only if not, and there's no way to avoid being over on the Lotasa, then Yavo Ase v'yitcha et ha-Lotasa. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think that we can take Rava's approach here at all. It makes no sense. It's got to be that the Machlokas is whether Hakafas Kol HaRosh is or is not. It certainly can't be Rava's approach. Okay, well, I let me try something else. Let me try the opposite approach. Maybe we could say like this. Maybe Kuleyama Hakavas Kalarosh is Hakava. No, so let's try the other direction. There's no machlokas, the way you're trying to learn, about whether Hakavas Kalarosh is Shema Hakava or not. Everybody agrees that it is. And therefore, I understand why it is that the first brisa needs to bring a raya that a regular mitzvah is allowed, is b'chuyev, to do this hakafa. So what? How do you explain the fact that I have an extra pasuk to tell me the nazir, which is the second brisa? So that mandiyama, mandamukim lekro lemitche lo taaseh veaseh, he learns out the din of eseh docha lo taaseh from somewhere else completely. And he doesn't need to have a pasuk by Metzaira to tell me eseh docha lo taaseh. He has the classic pasuk, namely tzitzis and kilayim, as we've spoken about so many times. So he learns out the lav greda minole. Where does he know that a normal lav without an asay, that an asay is docha, regular lav? He learns that out from gedilim taase lav, dormakra. Lo tilbat shatnez. And the bright explained it. Lo tilbat shatnez, but gedilim taase lav. Whoa. So the pasuk is gufa coming to tell me that even though I'm telling you lo tilbat shatnez, you should know that you go ahead and make gedilim al abak and fot kesutcha. And therefore,
what? Mehen, from the mehen, right? From the shatnez, is that what the mehen is doing?
What mehen? There is no mehen. There is no mehem. I'm saying the mehem. The pasuk didn't say mehem. That's the brayta. Lo tilbat shatnez. But samru pishtim. I mean, but gedilim taselecha. The mashmaut being that even from them. So you see that es es docha lo taseh. So what do I do with this extra pasuk to tell me the same thing? I use it to tell me that in Nazir, we're over there, you have a lotasa, and an asay that even so, the mitzvah is doicha. Now, of course, we're going to have to, when we continue, we're going to have to understand, so why not learn it out from here? And if you do learn out that a lotasa is doicha, it says doicha lotasa ve'asay, why don't we make that a universal din? What limits it to over here? And so on and so forth, all of the obvious questions that we're headed towards. Okay, everyone. See you, Bezrat Hashem, with the grace of God, tomorrow. And looking forward to hearing all of your researches into the Rabbeinu Peretz and the other Mefarshim on this issue and on the other question about the Rajba, which David asked. And look forward to you tomorrow in the midst of Yeshuot v'Nechamot. You know, this is the Halavai. Today should be the big day. Tashia Samecha.
Amen.
Nachlatecha. V'aim v'naseim ad olam. Go to everybody. Thank you so much.